This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. My guest today is Ishita Kabra, who is the founder and CEO of the award-winning app By Rotation, the world's largest shared wardrobe available in the UK and US. Ishita is passionate and solutions-oriented about the climate crisis, particularly by how every individual can play a part. Alongside her busy work schedule running By Rotation, Ishita is a prominent voice in the fight for equality in the world of investment, highlighting the still huge disparity between male and female-run companies who receive investment. Ishita, welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you. I know we've been speaking about having you for ages. Now look, I know you as the founder of By Rotation, as I'm sure a lot of people do, and you're quite a visible founder with the company, which is really nice. And I think it's this growing trend where we're seeing, you know, founders that are really happy to be the face of their businesses. Talk to me about the idea of founding By Rotation. Where did it come from? What was that kind of start point that pushed you into creating the business?
So By Rotation is a social network where you can lend and rent premium lifestyle items with each other. And it really came from a first world problem, which was that I wanted to wear nice clothes on a trip of a lifetime, my honeymoon. I grew up in Singapore, which is a very, very consumerist society. You know, there's only two things we do there, eat and shop. And I was really good at shopping.
Sounds like a great life.
Yeah, exactly. And when I got my first job working in investments, you know, I had good disposable income and I would spend my salary on buying nice clothing, designer clothing. And on my honeymoon, I was like, I'd love to wear all these incredible pieces in Rajasthan, which is the desert of India, also where I was born. And I thought it'd be so cool if I could borrow these clothes from, well, firstly, from any sort of rental solution. And it turned out in the UK and even Europe, for that matter, we didn't actually have any such solutions. I think you have like high street stores where it's kind of like renting a hat or like renting stuff for like weddings if you're the mother of the bride or whatever. So there wasn't anything that was kind of, I guess, current and modern. And that's when that idea started sort of brewing in my head. And I thought, actually, I'd love to be able to rent from all these fashionable people that we see on social media channels, such as Instagram and YouTube. You know, it'd be so cool if I could rent directly from these women that I follow. So that was this idea. And then I went on my honeymoon, which was, again, in Rajasthan, which, by the way, is the textile home of India. And I couldn't help but notice there was a lot of textile waste everywhere, including my suburban hometown, which is 2 hours away from a big city. And I hadn't been back for 14 years, and I just couldn't help but feel that I too was part of this problem. Because it turns out that 90% of the clothing that we do own and donate to charity shops ends up in landfills in Asian and African countries.
Wow.
Such as my own. So it just kind of felt wrong. It felt almost racist and broken. And I felt like I was part of that circle and that cycle. And that's when I thought this idea that I had for renting clothes, what if we actually made it the next part of sharing economy? So like Airbnb and Uber, essentially, but more for clothing and fashion.
And it's like such an interesting concept because it's almost like, how has this not happened before? Like, it seems like such an obvious solution to a problem of, you know, there are so many people who want to wear gorgeous clothes who either A, might not necessarily want to spend that much money on a single item of clothing, or B, just, you know, don't want to have something that lasts. They want to wear it for maybe one event, but then not wear it again. And many other reasons as well. It almost seems so obvious as a solution to that problem. And yet it wasn't, as you said, happening at the time. What year was this?
It was November 2018 that I was planning my honeymoon. And then I actually went on the honeymoon at the end of February 2019. So I incorporated BioRotation in April 2019, and I only went full-time with the business because I founded it as a side hustle in October 2019, wow. 5.5 months before COVID.
Oh, yeah, wow. We'll talk about that because I think my next question is really on, you know, one of the things I'm really fascinated about is how businesses grow and evolve to become the things that we know them to be. You know, we look at every company that we're now familiar with, and a lot of them have been through different iterations to then find themselves at the place where they find themselves as the companies we know them. So with BioRotation, you know, you even introduced it as kind of a social networking rental platform in which there are multiple items that I'm guessing you can now rent. But talk to me about the different iterations that BioRotation has gone through. What was the initial idea and how did that look? What has it gone through to get to where it is today?
I guess I always wanted it to be a community, you know, where you could rent from each other. And it wasn't very clear to me that it wasn't just a peer-to-peer rental booking system. It became more and more evident throughout many iterations of the app itself when we were building it, that this is in fact a social network. And, you know, today we've been dubbed as the Instagram of fashion rental. So people are not just using the app for booking things, but, you know, so not just being transactional, but they're actually spending a lot of time on the app just browsing. You know, they're getting inspired, they're creating mood boards, they're making new friends, they're learning all their insights as to what are the items that actually perform well for them for rental, and therefore what should they go and buy when they do decide to invest and shop and buy new pieces.
And I think that's really interesting because, you know, we know that community is really at the heart of a lot of businesses now. And it's one of those things that it's such a buzzword within, like, I guess, particularly within the social media and the kind of like the space that I work in. But it is one of those things that we're recognizing more and more to be really important as a key foundation of a lot of businesses is having those people that have that ultimate buy-in, that it's not just transactional, that they're really buying into being a BioRotation member. They're buying into being proud to say, oh, I've rented this from BioRotation. And I think it's really this shift in our mindset about how we approach clothes. And I guess part of that shift, as you started, you know, this conversation with, has come from not just wanting to rent clothes, but also there being a necessity from an environmental perspective. We know that, you know, fashion waste, clothing waste, textile waste is a huge contributor towards the climate crisis. So whilst I understand that also your primary motivation was to create something that you could use yourself as a platform to rent, I'm also really interested to hear from an environmental perspective the importance of that side of things and how that continues to contribute and educate you on how you shape the business.
Yeah, I mean, I approach this in a very solutions-oriented manner. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom around climate crisis, around the fashion industry and how it's very exploitative. But the reality is, we are buying 100 billion items a year of clothing. Wow. There's like 7 billion of us. I mean, this is insane numbers. And from that, actually, there's been a really great challenge that's come out, which is the rule of five that I'm subscribing to this year, which is you can only buy 5 new pieces of clothing and 4 secondhand pieces of clothing this year. And I end up going to a lot of events, as do you, Alice. You know, I see you at these events. And, you know, we do like to dress up and show up as our best versions of ourselves or expressing ourselves in different ways, you know, by experimenting with different brands and styles. And I obviously use the BioRotation app instead because I'm borrowing from someone else rather than creating more waste and buying, you know, either fast fashion items or even luxury fashion for that matter, which by the way,
is not often better.
No, yeah. It's not. And it's just like a designer label that's been tagged on. And sure, sometimes it's higher quality, but I mean, there's so much excess, as you can see from a lot of the retailers having incessant sales. So for me, it's really about creating this sort of solution that every person, even the one who's walking down their local high street, can engage in. And I think one of the problems that we see within this buzzword, sustainability, is that it's very exclusive. Like, I mean, to buy a sustainable dress or a sustainable brand, you know, there's only a handful that are very well known and the price point is very high. So I think part of the problem here is that it's not that people like to buy fast fashion and they like to buy cheap clothes. It's more that that's the only thing they can afford.
Needs must, and, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And obviously we shouldn't be subscribing to crazy trends and fads that happen every week.
Yeah.
But some people actually can only afford the £10 dress. And therefore for me, it's all about making sustainability and circular fashion very inclusive from a price point.
I think that's like genius. And, you know, like, I think you raise a really good point about, you know, this like age of consumption and excess. And I only have to open my social media app to see the latest Zara haul or, you know, fast fashion. And like you said, even luxury fashion as well, not saying that that's any better than fast fashion either. And I'm absolutely part of that problem. And I think I have to hold my hands up and say, you know, it's something that we all have to take accountability for and recognize our own footprint within that space, rather than just saying, oh, because you buy from PLT, you're the problem. Like, all of us have a responsibility to recognize our own consumption and maybe not driving that consumption as well, at the same time as also recognizing, on the other hand, that, you know, for a lot of people, renting clothes, being able to afford sustainable brands is an issue. So there's this kind of, there's this two-pronged thing. And I guess it leads me onto my next question, which is really around what you see the pros and cons of renting be, which I know is probably going to be a hard question for you because there's so many pros.
Biased.
Absolutely. But, you know, there are some things that people have concerns about, let's say. Yeah. So whether that might be they're renting an item and they're concerned about that item staying in the same quality that they sent it out in when they get it back, or whether it's someone that's in a bigger body and they're worried about finding, you know, accessible sizing, or someone like myself who's 5'1" and finds it difficult to find things that fit my height, you know, whatever it might be. So let me hear from you some of the cons that you feel hold people back from renting.
Yeah. And then we can problem solve along
exactly,
the way as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess the main concern that people tend to have is always damage. You know, what happens if I spill red wine on date night and, you know, what, you know, do I need to replace the entire dress? So it's worth mentioning that on the app, we have an invoicing feature where the lender can invoice the renter for extra cleaning, late fees, any damages, you know, you've got your stiletto stuck in a hem, you know, that sort of stuff does happen. And all you have to do is pay for the repairs. It's also worth mentioning, as a lender, everyone on the app is ID verified, email and phone number verified. And by the way, I think this is the direction that all social networks are going towards. Mm. You know, we've seen a few dating apps also now require you to put your ID in there. And that should have always happened because no one wants trolls. So we are seeing more, you know, we're seeing people be very respectful with each other's items because they're rated and reviewed, you know, much like Airbnb. So you almost feel like you're more careful because you have each other's info, face, details all on file. And then so that's one of the things, damages and, you know, repairs and things like that. Then the other one is fit and style. And that's another reason why we've made this very much a social network, less transactional, like an e-commerce platform. So what happens is someone like you and me, who are both sort of 5'1", you know, the same height, we're petite, we find each other on the Buy Rotation app and we follow each other on the app and we end up repeat renting from each other over and over again. We call this a style match. And it's great because you can message each other on the app. You can ask lots of questions. The photos that you see on the app as well are of real people. So it'll be like a photo of you in your vampire's wife dress.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, you are very good at rewearing your clothes and championing that. So I do think that you do bring that up, you know, in your content and make it a part of the dialogue that we can invest in higher quality pieces as long as we wear them.
Absolutely.
And share them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, those are two really key concerns that I do hear people having. And I think that it's good to discuss that safety element. You know, if you do have sort of higher ticket items, you're wanting to make sure that if you're going to lend it to someone, that you're able to have that accountability should something happen to it. And I do understand that concern that people have. But I think that's why platforms like yourself are so great at giving you that sense of comfort should something happen, that you're able to then know that you know, hopefully nothing does, but should something happen, that you're kind of accounted for in that sense.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning we've gamified the platform a lot. So on Buy Rotation, you need certain amount of reviews and ratings before you can rent really high value ticket items. So you've got, like, you know, Birkin bags on there, and you need a set amount of reviews before you can even send a rental request. So it's very much like you have to essentially be a trusted member of the community in order to engage with some higher level things and unlock these different levels. And I think that's actually really clever because it sort of feeds back again to the fact that this is a social network.
I did not know that you had Birkin bags on then, seeing as I will never have one of those in my life. I'm going to ask you after this if I can rent one of those.
Definitely. There's like the orange one as well. Oh, I've seen an orange and sort of green, which obviously is so
dream,
on brand.
The dream.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I was reading a really interesting article yesterday, and I don't know if... on the off chance that I happen to read the FT, which by the way might blow some people's minds that I actually read that.
I love the FT.
But I was sat at the gym and it was on the counter and I was like, I'm going to read it. And there was a really interesting piece about Gucci. Mm. We know that Gucci is going through this big transition phase, and understandably, fashion is changing, especially high fashion. People aren't necessarily buying 10 items anymore. They're buying one really high ticket item and instead investing in the resale value, for example. So we look at the brands that are doing well at the moment, your Hermes, your Chanel, your Louis Vuitton, the ones that have the high resale values are actually becoming more popular than owning, you know, ready to wear from Gucci, from other brands that aren't necessarily doing as well at the moment. And I think it's a really interesting reflection of where we're seeing not just high end, but also high street go in terms of, I'm hoping there's this shift now towards people recognizing not only to rewear clothes, but also to maybe buy more specifically or more kind of strategically. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. Rather than just going, I'm going to, you know, blow the budget and buy all of these things, actually being a bit more savvy with how they're shopping. And that's reflected in the China market, it's reflected here. And I just think that we are seeing this shift. And I do think that renting is going to become a big part of that as well. You know, for example, Birkins, like we know how popular they are.
Yeah.
They are all over social media and almost feeding that sense of people's desire to maybe hold one, own one, whatever it might be. For a lot of people, that's not accessible, which is where you come in. And I think that that's such an interesting way of, I guess, being able to have this very much more accessible high fashion world.
Well, yeah, and it's worth mentioning on the lender side as well. So we've got this specific feature on the app called the Lender Insights Dashboard. And that's where you can see what are the top items that you've listed, how much money you've made since you started lending out your items month by month broken down, and really just showing you the return on your investment on your entire wardrobe. Do you know how much your wardrobe costs?
No, I wouldn't know.
So I know.
You do. I know.
I do, because I've listed everything on the app that I'm willing to rent out. I mean, I don't put a few things like, say, my Manolo Hangisi, because I know they're satin and I wouldn't want to get upset if anything happened in the rain, especially. But it's been really, really interesting seeing like which brands for me are my top rented out. And therefore, when I am shopping or I'm buying anything in the sales, I only have 5 items this year. I still haven't bought anything, by the way. I'll be very strategic in that I will only purchase from those brands. And even the color, down to the color, it tells me which color performs best for me.
How interesting.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we've really made, you know, at Buy Rotation, we've really made even contemporary fashion. So not just the Birkin bag, but even like your Zimmermann dress or your Vampire's Wife dress into an asset class, because some women are making 4-5x back on a dress.
Well, I was going to come onto this because you've had some incredible PR articles that I've seen, probably not even like, you know, when I say PR, like just I've read, you know, how many women are making an income from renting their wardrobes. Like we're talking 4-5 figures, like a year from solely renting their clothes out. And that's incredible. And also very empowering to the lender, like in terms of, you know, if you are willing to spend money on clothes, those that have previously sat in your wardrobe for half the year, all of the year, you might have worn them a handful of times, like you're not getting that much value from them cost per wear. But actually, in walks by rotation, and suddenly you're able to make X amount from every single, you know, time that that's rented out. It becomes a business, like for the lender themselves.
Yeah, and I think what's really great is, you know, these have actually become significant side hustles for women. So we've got a few people who've actually made this their full-time job. You know, they've put it as their self-employed income. And then you've got some who've been able to fund their IVF journeys, pay for childcare, save up for their mortgages or their next cocktail or holiday. It's like a variety of reasons that people are using the app and what they're doing with the income. But I think it's been so... I mean, it's something that I'm really surprised by, you know, the fact that we've made fashion, which often is seen as so materialistic and shallow and maybe even vapid, we've actually made it so empowering, you know, that it's actually becoming a part of someone's everyday life. It's becoming a part of someone's family life.
And I was saying to you earlier that like I'm very much going into wedding season with like friends getting married and myself getting married and stuff. And I am speaking to so many people who are now like more than ever, I think, renting clothes for wedding season. It's like the big time where, and we know that feeling, right? Like when you go to an event, you want to be wearing something. And I do understand this. You want something to be like novel and new, especially if you're with the same friendship group multiple totally. Times across the year. You don't want to be wearing, as much as it's lovely to have a nice dress, you don't want to wear it every single time you then see those people, although there's nothing wrong with that. So I think that that's where renting is just becoming so popular. You're having this ability to have access to a wardrobe that's multiple times the size of yours and being able to select pieces that you think, oh, that is going to be great for that occasion, but I probably wouldn't buy it to have in my own wardrobe.
We'll be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome back to Give Me Strength.
Now look, we've talked a lot about renting and there's so many pros and it's so exciting, but I guess behind the scenes, I'm really interested on, you know, how growing the business and what growing the business has looked like for yourself. I know that you are a female founder, which is in itself like, you know, not as common, although becoming more common. And like, I'm just interested in how you, first of all, managed to start the business. Like, did you receive funding? Were you self-funded? What was that kind of initial phase like?
Yeah, so I founded By Rotation as a side hustle. So for the first 6 months, I was using my salary to pay our senior developer and our marketing intern and our part-time PR. All of these guys are still with me 4.5 years later. My senior developer is now my CTO. My intern's now my senior community manager. Our freelance PR has been my PR for the last 4.5 years. So I founded it as a side hustle using my own salary. And then when I went full time with it 6 months later in October 2019, I used my savings. So I bootstrapped it. And then a year later, when we started proving traction, you know, we started having transactions on the app. And this was even during COVID, I managed to get a few of my friends and family involved in a pre-seed round. So we did a sort of small round, which was very kind of, you know, calling my ex-colleagues, my friends, my family, my husband's ex-colleagues to all get involved. So anyone I kind of knew within my network while we were still gaining popularity and traction. And then most recently, we are now venture-backed. So we're one of, I don't know, 0.02% women of color founders that actually have been backed institutionally. It's a terrible figure, to be honest with you. But we've got a few venture funds now in our cap table. And then also a few family offices and some well-known angel investors in the fashion space.
Really interesting. Can you name who any of them are?
Yeah, so Red Rice Ventures is our lead investor. They're a great investor in brands and marketplaces, both of which we are. We've got Closed Loop Partners, which is a circular economy investor in particular. They're based in New York, which is great because we just launched in the US 6 months ago.
So exciting.
Yeah, we're now the world's largest shared wardrobe. And then we also have True Global, which is another venture fund that's in our cap table. And we have the very well-known Riccardo Pozzoli, who is a fashion investor. And he actually was one of the earliest investors in Depop. And also he was Chiara Ferragni's manager and ex-boyfriend. So I'd almost say he's the one who came up with the idea of monetizing an influencer on Instagram.
Amazing. So interesting. And like, good to have kind of strategic investment as well. Because I think sometimes, you know, when people hear this word investment, it's like, you know, anywhere and anyone and anyone who's willing to give me money. But I think if you can find someone that's strategically invested in that business who has maybe a skill set that they can bring to the table, it just makes it so much better.
Right? Networker experience as well.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
And look, tell me about the impact that it's had on yourself. You mentioned that stat about being a female woman of color, founder business. What have you found to be your biggest challenges in that space? What's kind of really, I guess, maybe expected or unexpected, been something that you've had to overcome?
So I've worked mostly in male-dominated industries my entire career, you know, be that in finance or be that now, I guess, in tech. But I suppose we're a consumer tech, so there's quite a lot of this pressure for especially female founders to be in the public eye because we can, you know, market ourselves and essentially sell the consumer product. I mean, there's two sides to it, which is one, it's very cost effective because as the founder and CEO, you're also a free ambassador to the company. You know, you don't need to get like a celebrity or a spokesperson essentially. But the other side of it is that it's everything on the line. You know, you have to show up and you have to, you know, put yourself out there, which not everyone is comfortable with, you know, and I still kind of, I would say, struggle with that. When it comes to, you know, what I found particularly challenging, I guess there's two things. The first is fundraising is very difficult. It's very difficult when, you know, people who are writing the tickets don't look like you at all. And therefore, their needs are very different as well. So they just don't understand why, you know, women who tend to be 95% of our customer base needs to wear, you know, women need to wear new clothes to go to a wedding. They just don't get it, you know, and even though it's happening around them and maybe their female partners are doing the same, they just can't seem to imagine them going through what our service is providing. So that's been particularly challenging. And the way that I've kind of found my way around it is by showing our traction and our metrics and our numbers and essentially proving to them that give me money based on merit, not based on your gut feeling or the fact that you don't look like me and you don't know who my network is, so you don't trust me. Because a lot of early stage funding as well is based on who you know rather than what you know. So for me, unfortunately, it came to a point where I was like, I'm just going to prove my numbers so that you have no choice but to give me money. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
So that's the first challenge. And I guess the second challenge, which I maybe underestimated because I never worked in, you know, an industry which had, I suppose, more women than men, which is in fashion and media, is that there's a lot of women who say they support other women, but they don't actually support other women. And a lot of it is performative.
Word.
And yeah, and I've had a few, you know, experiences of this, which, you know, has been a bit of a shame because everything seems so perfect online, mm-hmm. but it's really not.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if we look at the root causes of that as well, it's, you mentioned about the pool being so small in terms of how many women get funding, particularly women of colour. And then we understand why we're almost pitted against each other. And we have this level of animosity sometimes that feels unexpected, but actually, given the stats that you've said, is almost to be expected, given that there's so many of us trying to vie for such a small pool of money and not just money, but success, you know, growth, whatever it might be. But I'm sorry that that happened because, yeah, it is tough and it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
I think the best way to approach it, the way that I've seen it, is really to focus on your product.
Yes.
And your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest sort of figures out on its own.
I couldn't agree more. I also am interested in terms of growing and scaling a business. You know, there are a lot of people who might be listening to this who are founders or have side hustles that they want to turn into full-time hustles. I think the growth and the scaling of businesses is incredibly challenging. And probably, you know, when I speak to people who are in a similar position to myself, you know, you start a small business and then you start to get to the point where you need to bring on new team members and grow and scale. As a founder, that can be really hard to do, and knowing where to make the right decisions, hire the right people. Talk to me about what scaling by rotation was like. How many staff members do you have now? And how have you managed to grow that team in a kind of manageable way?
Yeah, so many lessons have been learned throughout this journey, I have to say. And I'm still figuring it out, like how to be a good boss, how to be a great leader, how to have a vision and communicate that well as well, and how to hire effectively and properly, because I'm still learning a lot of lessons on that. When we first started, you know, it was all sort of freelancing, we'll see where things go. COVID hit, so the first 18 months of our existence has been just very ad hoc with freelancers without much structure. You know, I might be the boss or whatever, but really I'm just your friend. And if you want to do this, you can. And if you don't want to, you can change your mind as well. But since we got institutional funding, everything obviously changed. You know, when you have, you know, all these funds in your cap table, you need to have proper board meetings. When you have board meetings, you need to have a CEO. Everyone needs to have a role. So that's when things started becoming much more formal for us. So I would say at our peak, we had 18 people working for us. And at the moment, we have 12 people working for us.
Wow.
And just a couple in the US, and then the remaining 10 in the UK. And, you know, it's been very, very interesting kind of, you know, deciding what, I guess, the tone of the business is. And for me, I do try to keep it very collegiate. You know, for me, I see my colleagues as my peers. I mean, you know, sure, I'm their boss and I'm their CEO. But, you know, at the same time, I'll do a lot of tasks that an intern would do. Or like, you know, like going to the post office or like going for a coffee run or things like that. Very, very happy to do those and kind of reiterate that we are equal, I suppose. Because I think what's been really inspiring to me, seeing the ups and downs of running and scaling up this business, has been it's always the people who are truly passionate about the mission and can see the vision that actually really want to be here and care. It's not just about the money. Because working in a startup is very different from having a corporate job.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I think that it's actually really interesting to me because I was very much expecting you to say we've got like 50 to 100 people working for us, which is why I said, wow, because I was like, oh, okay, only 10 people in the UK, considering it's such a huge company. Expectations wise, I was like, wow, that's really interesting that you only have 10, but it obviously means that you've hired the right people in the right areas in order to facilitate that growth without having to take on loads of staff members and have loads of overheads in terms of salaries and, you know, people on your payroll.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning. It's also a testament to the business model, which is very scalable. Mm. You know, at the heart of it, we're a tech company that's building a social network. And we've got other great functions like customer support and community. But really, a lot of it is done online and digitally, because the focus is, you know, on peer-to-peer. So we do a lot of user-generated content as well, which is very big for us. So we're really lucky in that we've built a very lean, scalable, and cost-efficient business model. And that's actually how we managed to launch in the US as well, which no other fashion rental platform has ever been able to. They've never been able to scale beyond their home country. And that's something I'm very proud about, because I'm not even British, but we've planted the British flag in the US.
It's honestly, it's really impressive. Now look, just to finish up, I guess I'm really keen to ask about the future of BiRotation. You mentioned growing to the US, which is incredible. And so if you were to look forwards and with a hopeful view, I guess, but even so, if you were to predict where you think you're going to be in 5-10 years time, what are the big ambitions that you have for the company?
Yeah, I want to see us as being local. So we want to be global. We want to be in like 180 different countries. We want to be having local communities everywhere. So one of the new features that we launched a couple of months ago is that you can now rent by location. So you can see what's in your 1 mile radius, 3 miles, 5 miles, even better than a dating app. And that's what I want to see more of, you know, people just going to their neighbor and renting from them. And it doesn't necessarily need to be just fashion, because it's called BiRotation. So we've seen other categories like premium luggage, maternity related items already spring up on the app very organically. BiRotation is going to be the app that's transforming consumption for good.
It's incredible. And long may it continue. And I wish you every success with it. I'm here cheering you on all the way as your biggest fan. Obviously, it's really wonderful to see. And I'm just really grateful that you've given up time out of your very busy schedule to be here today, because it's been such a pleasure to chat to you and understand more about the company itself and also about the kind of idea behind it and also you as well. So thank you so much for your time. And yeah, if people want to download the app, it is excellent. I'm on there. I've got a couple of dresses on there that you can have a little look at.
And I'm going to rent from you, Michelle.
And yeah, thank you so much for your time, Ashita.
Thank you, Alice.
So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I'll be back on Friday for my Ask Alice. Again, if you have any questions for that, send us an email to the email that's in the show notes. If you are enjoying the podcast and you'd like to hear a little more from me, I am so excited to announce that I have just written my latest book, Give Me Strength, How I Turned My Back on Restriction, Nurtured the Body I Love, and How You Can Too. It comes out in July and is available for pre-order now. And it's the book I wish I had read when I was really struggling with body image and exercise addiction. And so if this sounds like something that might help you, you can find the link to get your copy in the show notes now. I'll be back next Wednesday for my next episode, and I look forward to speaking to you then. Give Me Strength is an Insanity Studios production.